This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be talking now once again with the Marblehead High School football coach, Jim Rudloff. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you doing? It's been a while.
Been great, and thank you for having me. It's good to be back on again. It's been a couple of years, but things are good. Thank you, Rick.
Jim, I'm going to start off being blunt here. It looks like with your football team this year, you have played two different seasons. First two games, you were kind of outclassed, giving up a lot of points, not scoring a lot of points. And now the next two games, it's totally reversed. You have really dominated both offensively and defensively. So what can you tell me about the strength of schedule in this year's team in terms of this first four games?
Well, first, I have to give credit to the teams that threw a licking on us. Bishop Fenwick is a exceptional football team. I know they're D5 or D6, somewhere way down there. That makes it seem like it should have been something different, but I can tell you after losing to them two straight years that they're probably one of the best coached teams in the state, you know, definitely the North Shore, but within the state. I just, some of the things that they're able to do, they just do so well, and they deserve a ton of credit for that. And they're obviously, their kids have executed and played well. You know, from the Marblehead side of things, obviously we're doing something wrong the last 2 years not to get the kids ready. Everyone was healthy for that game as they were last year. Last year we had brand new quarterbacks. You know, we lost our quarterback over the offseason, and so we had two kids that had never played in a varsity game before. And that was our excuse a year ago. This year I didn't have that excuse. But really what the story of the game was how well Fenwick played and then us turning the ball over, I believe, seven times. We had just a nightmare of a game. The first drive we drove down, we scored, and then as soon as we got the ball back, you know, we couldn't do anything right, and we just really shot ourselves in the foot over and over again. So the goal right going into the second game is King Philip. You know, obviously that's a tall mountain to climb. And we knew it would be an uphill climb. So the goal was really to show toughness and to show improvement, you know, to show something that at the end of the game, if we don't come away with a W, at least come away with your heads held high, that we're not the team that was on film against Fenwick. You know, we're different than that. And I feel like we did accomplish that. As much as we took a beating from King Philip, there were a lot of things that we did not do in week one that we finally were now doing in week two. And you could see some forward movement there. We caught a break in week three. Shepherd Hill was a little bit weaker opponent, and you know, they ran the double tight, double wing, which you know, we wanted to see. We knew Danvers was going to that, and we wanted to see if we could get an opponent that played that. So we just were fortunate there. And it was really honestly tough to tell if we got better or if it just, you know, they had a three-hour bus ride, just a tough situation for Shepherd Hill to be in. But we did play well. We executed pretty good. We got everything done that we wanted to get done, but we didn't really have a good idea of where we would be. And then finally against North Andover, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked at how well we played. Like, mm-hmm. There were a couple moments that me and another coach would look at each other and just, wow, like, are these our guys? Our kids were flying around the field. We haven't played like that in a couple of years, and we really played well. And what's interesting is when you get the film, you see a bunch of things that you really didn't do well and a lot of things that we could clean up. So hopefully, you know, I think we caught North Andover, you know, in that game. They have a really good football team, and I think we kind of caught them on a bad night. And we really did play out of our minds. We just, everybody just was firing on all cylinders, it seemed like. So it'll be interesting to see this week against Beverly, you know, if we can maintain that, keep it going. We have a bye week this week, so we don't actually play Friday night.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Jim, your opponents up to this point, you know, you guys, the power rankings are out, you're in pretty good shape, and your opponents are 10-3 the first four games. And I want to ask you about the makeup of the chemistry of this team, or maybe the culture of the team, because, you know, taking a couple of tough losses early on by big scores, but then just really rebounding. And as you mentioned, the North Andover game, I would say, is a signature game. It's a statement game. But tell me about the makeup of your kids and the mindset, because each year it seems
The kids have a certain, you could almost put a label on a team from time to time, couldn't you?
Yeah, oh, definitely. This team's interesting because what sounds good was sort of our fatal flaw, and that is that we have 27 seniors. I've never had more than 18 seniors in a season. We normally carry about 60, 65 kids. Somewhere in that number is how many kids we have on varsity. And this year, 27 of them are seniors. So the downside of that was most of those 27 had never played in the varsity game before. These were kids that were always...
Oh, my. Yeah.
Because we had had some, you know, good players in the last couple of years, and this is a group of kids that didn't get to play a ton. So in the first couple of games, we had a glut of seniors that we didn't know what to do with. And what's been nice is in the last couple of games, we found roles for a lot of those guys that were not necessarily the rules that they thought that they were going to have. I may not just be a traditional this or traditional that, but we found that, you know, against this opponent, you're going to have a really big role doing this. You're going to have a really big role. And so one of the things that the positivity around the team, by getting those kids in, it kept the kids positive where, you know, you can see the negative side of if you've got 27 seniors, you're losing every game and you're keeping your ones in and no one else is getting in and you could have some real trouble there. But we've been really lucky that it seems like almost all of these kids have something that they can contribute in a varsity game at a high level that we can use. And then slowly, once you kind of establish that with some of those kids, they start being able to show off the other things that they can do. And you start getting more confidence. Okay, this kid can do this, and we can use him for this. And now we've got, you know, 27 seniors that are flowing in and out of the game. And that's a big thing because these seniors want to do well. They want, you know, they want to be out there, and to be able to give them all an opportunity to do this has been really big for us. And not just to be that seventh kid or eighth kid on the kickoff team or something like that. Like, they're all getting an opportunity to contribute.
Well, I know, Coach, you know that I know Paul Ingram very well. And back when you first started, you and Paul had a great relationship with your two teams. And Paul always mentioned to me,
he always mentioned about what you just said, keeping the kids... happy is not the right word, but involved in practice and making sure that every single kid on the team has something to contribute, and at least you recognize that there's a potential there and let the kid do that. And with 27, it just reinforces to me how difficult a job it is that you have as a coach, but more importantly as a teacher, and so you got to be gratified when a kid can perform after you've seen, okay, he can go in this place. And I guess what I'm getting to is the fact that, you know, kids, I'm going to be a shortstop, I'm going to be a quarterback. Well, no, maybe you're not, and so the coach has to sort of push him into a different place.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I mean, and as any coaches would know, that a lot of times that kid that's only a shortstop is also a lefty. And you're like, you're looking at him going, oh boy, how am I going to break the news to him here? You know, I don't, and no one needs a lefty shortstop. there's a little bit of that, and there's years that you just don't have that. Like right now, for example, we have three senior running backs, and every single one of them is a good running back, is a good varsity running back. They would play for, you know, just about all of the teams in the Northeast Conference. But, you know, we also have a couple of really good sophomore running backs, and we have a really good junior running back too. So we've had to move kids around and find room for it because, you know, it's mm-hmm. not just, coach, what do I need to do to get better? What do I need to get on the field more? You know, there's been a lot of times that you have to look a kid in the eye and say, you have to, you know, find a way to, you know, kill that young man that plays in front of you because he's just better than you, mm-hmm. at least right now. You know, this week right. we are asking, what do I need to do here on the field more? You know, years ago, you know, you think of kids, Andreas at Danvers, Eli at Peabody, you know, Cronin at Marblehead. Well, if that kid's in front of you, what do I need to do, coach, to get on the field is kind of a tough question for right. coach to answer. So sometimes it's a matter of finding a spot and making sure that that kid, that left-handed shortstop, understand that, you know, I definitely need a first baseman. I definitely need, you know, there's things where we can find a place for you, and it may not be what you want to do, but it's going to be a way that you're helping make the team better, obviously. And then you'll be happy and content once you realize that you're getting playing time and you're contributing.
Well said. So, left-handed yeah. shortstop. Man, that's exactly correct. Coach, I want to ask you a couple more questions, and I've held you all night once again. But before we get to the overall health of the program and the upcoming schedule, one of the coolest names I've ever seen in football is Finn Gallup. So please tell me about this kid.
So Finn Gallup is our junior quarterback. He's also the goalie on the lacrosse team. Finn is an interesting kid. He and Colt Wales, who's our captain and our other quarterback, they literally split 50% of their time in all of our snaps. And I know it doesn't make sense. And I know that every week I have every parent asking me, well, you know, at what point are you going to start starting just one of them? Or, and you know, these are people that aren't at practice with us and see that both of these kids work equally as hard. They both throw really well. They both run really well. But you know, Finn's just the coolest customer in the world. Like, nothing rattles him. I think anybody that's seen him on film, he just does not get rattled. Pressure doesn't really matter. You know, if you can blitz him, you can bring guys up on the line. You know, you can sim blitz it. There's really not a lot. He's going to do what he's going to do no matter what. That's sort of his strongest quality. And he's only a junior, so he's been, you know, I can't say enough good things for him. He certainly has a lot of things that we can have him improve on, but, you know, it's been a pleasure having these two kids that we have at quarterback at the same time. And we didn't think we had anything after Miles O'Neill left us. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought the cupboards were dry, and both of these guys really stepped up for us.
Coach, you mentioned parental involvement or interest, I guess. And one of the things about you and so many of the other coaches on the North Shore, both in the Cape Ann League and the Catholic Conference and the Northeastern Conference, who have longevity, have not only credibility, but also great support, and you have eyes in the building. So I wonder if you might want to mention your staff again this year, because it's pretty solid, and they have a great rapport with the kids.
Yeah, we've had some changes in the last couple of years, but the core guys that have been with me, you know, for forever, it seems like, you know, is Nick Broton, my offensive line coach. Nick played for me back in, I started in 2009, and he was on the team in 2009, 2010. Then he went and played offensive line at Merrimack and came back as my assistant line coach, and then I gave him the line, I think about 2016, 2017, and he's been phenomenal. Like, he's the level of coaching, the level of skill and coaching that he brings, the amount of work that he puts in, is he's a different animal. And not taking away from any of the other guys on my staff, but you know, if any other staff had Nick Broton, it would mean two wins. You know, it's just that he's that important to our team. He's just a very bright guy, a good guy, knows how to talk to the kids. But he handles our offensive line. Our linebackers and running backs, Coach Steve Lewis, has been with me that same amount of time. And he's just the same thing, just a really good person. He doesn't teach at the school, but he's just a great guy, has a great rapport with all of the players. The players trust him. You know, he does everything with us. If we have a team dinner, he's there. If we have a picnic, if we have a darts tournament, you know, he's there. He's at kind of everything that we do. Another type of guy like that likes to be around the team. And the team likes to be around him. Mike Giardi has been with me this whole time. You know, Mike is the head of our math department. He's our head baseball coach. He's our head basketball coach. He's the lead negotiator on the union contract talks that are going on right now. He, you know, there's no, I believe he's going to be debating Tim Waltz tonight on TV.
Okay.
There's nothing that Mike doesn't do.
Right, that's correct, yep.
And if I can add something else in, because you'll appreciate this, the best Mike Giardi line ever is Mike runs a baseball camp for youth, and the left-handed shortstop got me thinking about this. Giardi will do this at least once a camp to some poor kid. He'll say to some kid, he'll go, hey, run over, please, to the, you know, run run into the outfield, please, and ask Coach Rudloff, tell him I need the left-handed bat. You know, if he could just give me, we're going to do some drills with the lefties, I need the left-handed bat. He'll send some poor kid all over the field from coach to coach looking for the left-handed bat.
Oh, God.
I have always loved that joke. But anyhow,
Gary's
been with me all these years. He's our offensive coordinator. And then we have a bunch of other guys that have more recently joined us. Larry Roush, who splits the wide receivers with Dewey Millett. You might remember Dewey played for us for 4 years, then went out to Arizona, went to school in Arizona, came back, and is now coaching with us. Pete Twaddell is a volunteer coach that helps out with the wide receivers, too, as well. And then Garrett Christopher this year is another former player, just came back from school and joined us to help out on the offensive and defensive line. And then finally is the Gillis brothers. And you remember them. They played all through the teens, both Liam and Aiden, and they went on to be defensive linemen at St. Anselm's. Both of them played there. And both have been my defensive line coaches, except at different times. Aiden got married last fall and missed 3 games. And so Liam, and so we had Aiden. And now this fall, Aiden just got accepted into the Firefighters Academy. So he's there. He'll be back in November. And so we have Liam full-time. So a good staff, but the last couple of years we've had guys in and out with things like the Fire Academy. Married or going out, and so we've had some turnover and some switching around, but the core guys that have been with me this whole time have been fantastic.
Yeah, you know, and life happens. That's the problem with that. Coach, couple more quick questions here. First of all, tell me about this year's captains.
So this year we have 5 captains this year, again with 27 seniors. I kind of expected to have a large number of captains. We have our running back, middle linebacker, Brady Salve, our quarterback, free safety, Colt Wales. A wide receiver, defensive back, Crew Monaco. Bodie Smith, who is a tight end for us, and our middle linebacker also. And then Justin Gonzalez, who is a two-way lineman for us. And all 4 kids are seniors, all are good students, great kids. Most of them play multiple sports. Gonzo wrestles. Brady plays basketball. Colt is now, I believe, just with baseball also. Crew Monaco is the captain of the hockey team. Is a junior last year that won the state tournament. So all the guys are multiple sports. Good athletes, obviously, and good students, just real good kids.
All right, Coach, finally, I know it's an off week, so we're not going to get into talking about Beverly just yet, but overall health of your program, Jim, you've been there for a while now. How are you feeling about how things are looking overall?
Well, first I'll address the medical health. You know, last year at this time, we had toughness running rampant through the team. I think we were down 6 kids with whooping cough, 4 kids with COVID, 6 concussions. We went into week 3 last year against Beverly with our 9th running back. And I'm not trying to make excuses, for we weren't very good last year, but this time of the year last year was just a disaster, medically for us. And this year, knock wood, just we're relatively healthy finally. Which we're fortunate because, again, we have whooping cough going through the high school.
But why?
Most of the kids have been good. We had a couple kids out last week, but things have health-wise have been good. The overall health of the program, we have an undefeated freshman team right now. They've been very, very good. We have 2 freshmen from that team that haven't even played with the freshmen. We took the quarterback and a lineman and brought them up to varsity with us because we felt that they were ready to start playing JV now. For us, and so even taking the 2 best players off the freshman team, we're happy where the freshmen are at. We have a good group of kids, JV, like I said, with 27 seniors. Next year we'll be down to 33 kids left from this team that we currently have, so we're going to need those freshmen. And then we have a real good 8th grade team right now down with our youth program, so we feel pretty good about the next couple of years. It's just going to be tough next year losing so many quality kids that will be graduating.
Coach, thank you so much for taking the time tonight. Can't tell you how much it means to us at MSO, and congratulations on the rebound, and I hope we'll talk later on during the season.
Absolutely. Me too, Rick.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
All right, thanks. You too. Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. That is Jim Redloff, who is the Marblehead High School football coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.